Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain masseur.
The battle for America is on.
Election 2026, we need the SAVE Act now. Our president is doing everything he can to protect our elections and the integrity of our right to consent. And he's having to fight through a field of snakes all the way. Get a load of this meme. Update on Iran. Why I think the sword that has been brandished may soon be blitzed, as it were, against the tyrants of Iran. It is impossible to negotiate with religious fanatics whose agenda is world subjugation to their God. Something to think about. And in the second segment, I'll offer clarity on the tariff decision. SCOTUS did not remove the president's power to impose tariffs. The decision narrowly addressed the use of the International Emergency Economic Powers Act to impose tariffs. And the SCOTUS decision was badly out of focus. Why? I'm going to make it crystal. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Election 2026, we need to save the Save America Act, and we need it now. Get rid of that filibuster, or do a standing or talking filibuster, and get it done. Our president is doing everything he can to protect our elections, and he's having to fight through a field of snakes all the way, and many of them are in Congress. Some of them are Republicans. In February, on Valentine's Day, the Economic Times reported on a Truth Social post that Trump made on February 13th. Where Trump promised to sign an executive order requiring proof of citizenship to register and photo ID to vote. He posted, quote, "There will be voter ID for the midterm elections, whether approved by Congress or not." And, quote, "If we can't get it through Congress, there are legal reasons why this scam is not permitted. I will be presenting them shortly in the form of an executive order," end quote. Now, that's back in February. He signed that promised executive order on March 5th, 2026. It's called the Preserving and Protecting the Integrity of American Elections, order number 14248. Let me give you a flavoring of it. It reads kind of like a legal brief. In 2 U.S.C. 7 and 3 U.S.C. 1, federal law establishes a uniform election day across the nation for federal elections, quote unquote. Trump intends to enforce the law in the spirit and letter of it, and he cites U.S. Court of Appeals ruling in the Fifth Circuit affirming that election statutes set, quote, "the day by which ballots must be both cast by voters and received by state officials," end quote. Several laws, such as the National Voter Registration Act, Public Law 10331, cited here, and the Help America Vote Act, Public Law 107252, cited here, require states to, quote, "maintain an accurate and current statewide list of every legally registered voter in the state," end quote, and noted here. Got it all documented. He cites 8 U.S.C. 1373C mandating the maintenance of accurate voter registration lists as a fundamental requirement in protecting voters' exercise of their right of consent. And Trump cites federal law 52 U.S.C. 30121, which prohibits foreign nationals from participating in federal, state, or local elections through the making of any contributions or expenditures. He points out that, however, this is being circumvented by exploiting loopholes in the law's interpretation, not the language of the law, in the little interpretations they invent. This is foreign interference in our elections, and it undermines the franchise and right of the American citizen to be governed by persons of their choosing. I can't read the entire executive order, of course. I've linked it here in my notes. You can. I read this much to show you something. Trump is laying the groundwork for a lawsuit against any state that violates the law, the federal law, governing elections. In other words, that's his job as the executive. This EO, executive order, is not a presidential decree, like some try to make it out to be. It is a statement, an argument, a brief, of what the Constitution and the United States statutes decree. As the executive, this order sends a clear shot over the bow, signaling that he will fight for our right of consent. He will fight for honest and fair elections for all Americans. The entire executive order goes on in this way. Documentary proof of United States citizenship consistent with 52 U.S.C. 20508B. He cites 52 U.S.C. 21083A5A. And he uses his office as executor to stipulate what will be required to comply with the law, because that's his job, enforcing the law. He cites USC code to support documentary proof of United States citizenship for federal voter registration, uniform election day ballot receipt deadline, federal agency coordination on voter eligibility as proof of citizenship, enforcement of all election laws, federal funding compliance, that is enforcement of prohibitions against foreign money, and the unlawful use of federal funds, and then voting system standards, protecting against hacking or other manipulation of the machines used by Americans to vote. Every one of these concerns is tied directly to statutes, forming a legal argument supporting each provision and creating a basis for suing any state, county, or city that violates these provisions. Read the whole thing and you'll see what I mean. This is a legal basis for bringing suit against any state, county, city that fails to execute an election properly, according to our laws, and on behalf of the American people. The Save America Act is intended to enshrine the provisions of this executive order in Maine, and in pertinent part, into a legislative bill that he will sign into law. Not long after these measures were taken, Trump called on the DOJ to secure a warrant to confiscate all election-related material for the 2020 federal election from Fulton County, Georgia. Here are the warrant documents, including the allegations and evidence via witness affidavit supporting the warrant. Here, and here. It's all documented in my notes, and you can look at the stuff for yourself. What the warrant requires is the delivery of all materials, meaning the FBI affidavit, supporting and securing the warrant, and the specific laws that are alleged to have been violated are Section 20701, all election material must be preserved for 22 months. This applies to all records and papers which come into the possession of the election officers relating to any act requisite to voting in such election. And then Section 205.112, it's a crime to knowingly and willfully deprive residents of a fair and impartially conducted election process, specifically in this section, by the procurement, casting, or tabulation of ballots that are known by the person to be materially false, fictitious, or fraudulent. And the allegations, A, the tabulator machines used by Fulton County are designed to create and save a scanned image of each ballot. Fulton County has admitted that it does not have scanned images of all 528,777 ballots counted during the original count, or the 527,925 ballots counted during the recount. B, Fulton County has confirmed that during the recount of votes, some ballots were scanned multiple times. Ballot images made available in response to public record requests show ballots with unique markings duplicated within the ballot images. C, during the risk-limiting audit, auditors counting the votes by hand reported vote tallies for batches inconsistent with the actual votes within the batch. The state's Performance Review Board reported that the Secretary of State investigators confirmed inaccurate batch tallies from the risk-limiting audit. This, all of it, it violates the law. D, auditors assisting in the risk-limiting audit reported counting purported absentee ballots that had never been creased or folded. Now, how does that happen? How do you mail it like that? As would be required for the ballot to be mailed to the voter and for the ballot to be returned in the sealed envelope requiring the voter's signature for authentication. These things have been found and seen and documented. Then E, on the day of the deadline to report the recount results, Fulton County reported a recount total of 511,343 ballots, 17,434 ballots fewer than originally counted. Well, the following day, Fulton County then reported a total of 527,925 ballots counted. So I remember Lindell Powell and Joseph Rossi gathering the data and building their case. The courts then found every excuse possible to bar the case from being heard in open court. Their favorite game was to dismiss the case, claiming Americans don't have standing to bring suit against a county they have reason to believe defrauded a national election. They used the same argument against the states that joined Texas, which filed suit for relief against the fraud that went on in Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, with allegations supported by witnesses and so on of fraudulent election practices in those states that effectively stole from the people their right of consent. And joining Texas, by the way, were Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, and Utah. A total of 17 states filed an amicus brief, that's a friend of the court brief, supporting this or that opinion, in support of the Texas suit. But the SCOTUS dismissed all of this, all of these states, on the issue of standing. You don't have standing. What? You see, back then, citizens and states had no standing to bring a complaint against a city, county, or state that, through election fraud, deprived those citizens and states of their right of consent. Well, there's a new sheriff in D.C., and this DOJ is going after Fulton County, Georgia, for allegations of voter fraud. Here's Joseph Rossi's testimony, and it looks a lot like an event I remember seeing back in 2021 or 2022, somewhere in there. It has been dragged out of the archives, I think, because of the attention Fulton County is getting over election fraud. Unless they recast that event in a new video, you can view it here, linked in my notes. Virtually all of the allegations Rossi mentions have stuck, and the Fulton County Election Board has never adequately addressed them, and neither has any court heard the evidence. The libfibbers have hidden behind dismissals to claim the charges have been debunked. What? The truth is, the case has never been heard in open court. So, we hope this will change, and I trust Lindell Powell and brave soldiers like Rossi, and there are some others, will be fully vindicated. Here's what the data show. 17,852 votes were counted with zero ballot images to support that count. 20,713 original tabulator votes appear out of thin air. 3,930 duplicate ballots were inserted into the certified totals. Now, according to the affidavit filed to obtain a warrant for the confiscation of all election material kept by Fulton County, you know, after the election officials of that county repeatedly refused to surrender the material requested by the Department of Justice, requiring the Department of Justice to send in the FBI to take the records into custody, raising the question, what is Fulton County trying to hide? Now, it appears from the affidavit the Election Board of Fulton County has confirmed several of the suspicions that were raised and denied that Lindell, Powell, Rossi, and others were trying to get someone to listen to them and investigate this. Ballots were mishandled, the chain of custody was botched, and other serious issues have finally been admitted, together with the witness reports of anomalies that the Election Board continue to deny, yet refuse to provide the ballots to cooperate with an investigation that seeks to settle this matter, to end it at last. We expect to discover that ballots were scanned one day, then random batches were pulled and made into new batches to be scanned again on a different tabulator, double counting the ballots. That's not an administrative error type of thing. That's intentional human intervention to change the results of an election. And that, my friend, is a criminal act, in my view. If you find official election personnel involved in any amount of fraudulent activity, that election for that county, state, or whatever must be thrown out and you have to do a do-over. Period. Update on Iran. Now, why I think the sword that has been brandished must soon blitz the tyrants of Iran. It's impossible to negotiate with religious fanatics. Trump has insinuated a timeline. He said, we might have to take the bad things are going to happen route that he talked about, you know. But who knows, he said, we might make a deal with Iran and, quote, you're going to be finding out over the next probably 10 days, end quote. Remember back when Trump said he would decide whether to bomb Iran within 2 weeks? But then it was only a few days later that the B-2s were delivering the package. Meanwhile, Trump has amassed a huge military presence on Iran's doorstep because this operation will go much farther than targeted bombing on one site. We are building up forces at a string of military bases along Iran's western border, about 4 in Iraq, 3 in Syria, 1 in Jordan, a concentration of 5 in Little Kuwait, 2 in Bahrain, 1 in Qatar, or Qatar, whatever, and then 1 in UAE. And we have ships in the Med, in the Arabian Sea, in the Red Sea. I mean, it's a huge deployment for a negotiation. And the ace in the hole is ever Israel. China, Russia, and Iran are wrapping up naval exercises in the Strait of Hormuz and the Gulf of Oman. The strait was closed for 2 hours to conduct live fire exercises. Imagine that whole scenario in your mind right now. And by the way, this disaster was created by Obama Biden. The deal Obama made with Iran was nonsense. It essentially said to Iran, you know, just slow down, you know, agree not to have weapon grade uranium for, let's go 12 years. I think it was something like that. I don't remember the specifics, but the idea was Iran could be on the threshold of nuclear bomb capability. So go ahead and progress toward that. Just slow down and you could be there in 15 years. And what kind of a deal is that? Obama was saying you could have nuclear bombs after I'm out of the White House, sounds like. I guess that's what he had in mind. I don't know what else. And remember, he provided something. I can think of some things. I don't have time to go into it. But he provided something like $600 billion? Yeah, in gold bullion or dollars? Cash, I think it was, that he dumped on their doorstep. I'm sorry, I'm pulling out of the reserves here. And I'm really tired, too, by the way. It's been a long day. But anyway, Obama created this thing and facilitated along with it the rise of ISIS. Remember that? The guy's a disaster. That sounds a little Trumpian. But he is. Coordinated the coup that went on through Trump's first term with the whole Russia nonsense. It continued through Biden's term. Do you remember Biden saying that he and Obama had put together the most effective and thorough voter fraud system in American history? Yeah, I know you liberals think that that was early evidence of dementia, though you never admitted it. I'll tell you what I think it is, and it's what I said when it happened. God squeezed that vile man's heart and forced the truth out of his lips. General Keane mentions this on Kudlow, that is Obama's role on all this. The fall of Iran will be equivalent to the fall of the Iron Curtain, he said, and I agree. He believes, as I do, that this can't be resolved in any satisfactory way that leaves Iran under the current regime. They've never been weaker, and this opportunity is unlikely to develop again. We can't remove sanctions and begin feeding the monster that's devouring the blood of their own people and threatening Israel constantly and wanting to kill the great Satan and the little. This has got to end. It's like the Gaza thing, the Hamas thing. I am so sick and tired of that nonsense. It just had to end. Thank God it's ended. And now Trump is leading the Board of Peace and raising money to rebuild Gaza into a thriving resort-based economy. Now, we're living in amazing times, friend. Iran must end. I mean, as presently ruled. Daniel told us that in the last days, leading up to the rise of the Antichrist, depicted in Daniel as Little Horn with a big mouth, by the way, and the Iran-Russia combined powers will rise and devour much flesh, according to Daniel 7. It was forming. It was rising. All that had to happen was for Iran to get the nuclear warhead for their ballistic missiles And you want to talk about much flesh being devoured. But God's people in America prayed and fasted and repented and exercised their authority in the use of the keys of the kingdom as kings and priests unto God and ambassadors for Christ in spiritual warfare. God heard and turned hearts and moved and raised up a leader in whose hands he could put his sword, Romans 13 with Daniel 4, read it and think about it, who would use it to its intended purpose to execute wrath upon the evildoers. Trusting a snake to behave contrary to its nature is nothing short of absolute foolishness and insanity. Trusting these servants of the serpent to act contrary to their souls' devotion to a God that demands, among other things, mothers to wrap their children in explosives and send them to die killing the infidel, a God that inspires the evil men to suppose they can beat their wives into submission, who dominate with violence and use force to take the kingdom, who imagine themselves to be called by their God to rule the world, and so they take the physical sword and their Quran and use murder and oppression, whose evangelism consists of offering to the infidel three choices: convert to Islam, become a servant of your Muslim masters, or die. You know, I'll tell you a little secret. They actually have more respect for those who choose death than they do those who kneel and pay the slave tax. And by the way, so do I. I wrote a book. It's called God's War. The subtitle is Why Christians Should Rule the World. Yeah. I believe we conquer the world with the sword of the Spirit, spiritual warfare, which is the Word of God. Jesus instructed us to procure a physical sword to defend against the violent wicked who take the kingdom by force, who rape and pillage and murder, you know, like Islam teaches them to do against the infidel. So what's different between Islam and Christianity? Both systems believe they are given the divine right to rule the world. Well, I'll tell you what's different. And I don't have time to go into it thoroughly, but listen, first, I got to tell you that either one or the other will rule. They will not live together. And if the Christian will not step up to rule, then they will be ruled by these oppressors. So here is why you want Christians to rule. The Christian will not beat his wife into submission. The Christian husband knows that his honor is in loving his wife as Christ loved the church. He will give himself for his wife as Christ did for the church. The Christian wife knows that her honor and glory are in her willing submission to her husband as her head. It cannot be taken. It can only be given. The wife cannot take her husband's love. She can only receive it, willingly given. The husband cannot take his wife's submission. He can only receive it when willingly given. The husband's love and the wife's submission are gifts each brings to the other. Jesus taught servant leadership. He taught us not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He taught us to love our neighbor as ourselves, even when they are unlovely. He taught us that we can only obtain the kingdom from him. We receive the kingdom from Christ, and we do not take it by force. He taught us to respect others' free will. We do not force our religion on anyone. In fact, anyone who's coerced or compelled into believing what we believe, they have no faith at all. Every man must believe or reject according to their own conscience. Jesus sent us to the unbeliever to say, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent and to believe on his Son to be saved. But he did not say, take their temporal life from them if they refuse. He did not say, subjugate them and make them your slaves if they do not accept your Christ. He said he died not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world, for all mankind. He said every man is created in the image and likeness of God, every man. And we must honor the free will God has given to every man. We don't make Christians, only God can do that. We say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Whosoever will may come. To come, here are the terms of surrender to King Jesus. they don't sound like the Muslim system, to come. All you do is confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that he died for your sins, was buried, and arose again from the dead for your salvation. And with that confession and that belief, all that's left is this. You must call on his name to be saved. Call to him to save you now. And he promised that he would answer. Only believe. That's it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So it looks like I've run out of time. Join me in my office for live stream podcast, Brain Massage Live, Saturday night. I start the podcast between 7 and 8 and runs about an hour. I did a deep dive examination into the SCOTUS tariff decision, and I'll take you through that Saturday night. For now, understand that the SCOTUS did not remove the president's power to impose tariffs. The decision was narrowly focused on the use of the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, the IEEPA, to do so. The three justices who sided with the American people in this decision were Thomas, Alito, and Kavanaugh. That's right. Roberts, Gorsuch, and Amy joined the Haters of America as founded. Their reason is that the IEEPA gives the president the power to regulate importation, and that is stipulated plainly. However, because it does not expressly state tariffs as a method for regulation, they decided IEEPA does not authorize the use of tariffs, and that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. The IEEPA does not stipulate any method for regulating importation that I could find. By their stupid rule, the law says Trump can regulate importation, but he can't do anything to regulate importation unless it's stipulated in this act. Therefore, the argument is specious, and either these, Gorsuch, Amy, and Roberts, are truly as stupid as those other three, God help them and help us, who only need to hear the name Trump as a reason to act, to breathe, to live. Or Trump is right, and some influence has prevailed over their patriotic duty to rule honestly and according to the language of the law, with enough intelligence to know that the power to regulate importation without any expressed exclusionary or inclusionary language leaves the matter to the discretion of the president. Trump has a way of cutting through the nonsense, seeing the sense. He believes these guys are influenced by slime balls. Okay. Though his language is sometimes crude, his reasoning is not. There's one or more slime balls loose and at work to undermine Trump's efforts to put America first. More, much more. Tomorrow night, I've lit the lamps of the Church Belfry Arch. You let me know you see they're on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net. Find the contact button. Fill out the form there. Send me an email. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline by dialing 1-805-314-2114. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.